Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good afternoon. It's Blog Talk Radio, Interpreters of the Oracles of God. Hope everybody's doing awesome today. I'm continuing from last week, and this is just going to be fun. I'm teaching what I also taught at the Women's Conference at the Bible College. And so I called this one, Before You Were Born, I Consecrated You. Because each and every one of us have a prophetic destiny. You know, we can watch to see what God will speak to us when we're born from above. We can see the kingdom of heaven. And knowing the language of the Spirit was poured out on Pentecost. I mean, he loves to speak to us from his realm. It's his spirit to our spirit. He loves to give us access. And how do we do that? How does that happen? Well, when we dwell in the secret place of the Most High and we abide in, under the shadow of the Almighty God, well, we can do that because he allows it, because he loves to communicate with his children. And so I want to thank IHOP Kansas for letting me use their music. May the Lord bless them and keep them and make his face to shine upon them and give them his peace. And I declare that they will have above and beyond what they could ever ask or even think or even imagine to fulfill their part of his story. I ask this in Jesus' name. And I declare Numbers 10:9, when you go to war in your land against the enemy that oppresses you, then blow an alarm with the trumpets that you may be remembered before the Lord your God, and you shall be saved from every single one of your enemies. Isn't that beautiful? It doesn't say some, it says all. And so let's blow the recording of the shofar. My prayer today is Ephesians 1:17-21, about-ish. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to us a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of you, Lord, the eyes of our understanding being enlightened, that we would know the hope to which we have been called, that we would know the riches of the glory of your inheritance in the saints, and the exceeding greatness of your power towards us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of your might, which you brought about in Christ Jesus when you raised him from the dead and seated him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far, far above all principality and power, might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And you put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is your body, the fullness of you, who fills everything in every single way. God is so good, isn't he? And so let's continue from last week. We were talking about, you know, prophetic destiny and the word that God gave me for the people at that conference. But I know it's for everybody, too. It's not just for the people at that conference, because God cares about each and every one of us. And he has a calling for each and every person. And remember, we talked about, well, what is the meaning of prophecy? It's a discourse emanating from divine inspiration and declaring the purposes of God, whether by reproving and admonishing the wicked or comforting the afflicted or revealing hidden things by foretelling future events, used in the New Testament of the utterance of Old Testament prophets, of the predictions of events relating to Christ's kingdom and its speedy triumph, together with the consolations and admonitions pertaining to it. Prophecy, the divine mind to which the prophetic faculty is due. of the endowment and speech of the Christian teachers called prophets. The gifts and utterances of these prophets, especially of the predictions of the works of which set apart to teach the gospel, will accomplish for the kingdom of Christ. You know, everything about the prophetic anointing is to be a testimony of Jesus. And so I wanted to talk a little bit. I don't know if I actually did this last week. I may have. I'm trying to find out where I was last week so I don't repeat a lot of it. And so let's talk a little bit about, I'm going to go into 1 Timothy 4:14, which I believe I did last week, but it's really worth repeating again. And that's 1 Timothy 4:14. Do not neglect the spiritual gift within you, which was bestowed on you through prophetic utterance with the laying on of hands by the presbytery. You see, that still goes on. When someone is ordained, or when someone they want to know their destiny, they can have the prophetic presbyter pray for them. And so it's a beautiful thing. And I love how it's said in the next verse, take pains with these things. Be absorbed in them so that your progress will be evident to all. It's so beautiful. And in 1 Timothy 1:18, it says, this charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest wage a good warfare. Because once you get a word, it's going to look contrary many times. You know, let's talk about Joseph a minute. I think we touched on that a little bit last week, but, you know, his dreams saved nations, and the sons of Israel were given favor by Pharaoh and lived in the choicest part of Egypt because of the gift of dream interpretation, because Joseph interpreted Pharaoh's dream. He was warned of a famine, and they stored food for 7 years. And in Genesis 37:6, he said to them, please listen to this dream which I have had. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf rose up and also stood erect. And behold, your sheaves gathered around and bowed down to my sheaf. Then his brother said to him, are you actually going to reign over us? Or are you really going to rule over us? And so they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. That's Genesis 37:8. Now he had still another dream and related it to his brothers and said, lo, I have had still another dream. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars were bowing down to me. Well, they knew what that meant. He was saying, hey, you guys, you're all going to bow down before me. And they just didn't like him anyway because he was his daddy's favorite. But when he said that, that just pushed him over the edge. They just couldn't stand their brother anymore. He related it to his father and to his brothers, and his father rebuked him and said to him, what is this dream that you have had? Shall I and your mother and your brothers actually come to bow ourselves down before you to the ground? And we know that that happened because Joseph, became one of the greatest leaders, second in command in Egypt, because of his dream interpretation. They had stored food for 7 years. And so we know that he saved not only Egypt, but he also saved Israel and many of the nations that were there with him. And so we're going to talk a little bit about Saul and David. Then Samuel took the flask of oil, poured it on his head, kissed him and said, has not the Lord anointed you a ruler over his inheritance? When you go from me today, then you will find two men close to Rachel's tomb in the territory of Benjamin at Zelzah. And they will say to you, the donkeys which you went to look for have been found. Now behold, your father has ceased to be concerned about the donkeys and is anxious for you, saying, what shall I do about my son? And this is, of course, about Saul, because he was going to be anointed the king. And so let's go a little bit down a little further. Then you will go on further from there, and you will come as far as the oak of Tabor. And there are three men going up to God at Bethel will meet you, one carrying three young goats, another carrying three loaves of bread, and another carrying a jug of wine. And they will greet you and give you two loaves of bread, which you will accept from their hand. Afterward, you will come to the hill of God, where the Philistine garrison is. And it shall be as soon as you have come there to the city that you will meet a group of prophets coming down from the high place with harp, tambourine, flute, and a lyre before them, and they will be prophesying. Then the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you mightily, and you shall prophesy with them and be changed into another man. It shall be when these signs come to you, do for yourself what the occasion requires, for God is with you. And you shall go down before me to Gilgal, and behold, I will come down to you to offer burnt offerings and sacrifice peace offerings, and you shall wait 7 days until I come to you and show you what you should do. Now he waited 7 days according to the appointed time set by Samuel, but Samuel did not come to Gilgal, and the people were scattering from him. So Saul said, bring to me the burnt offering and the peace offerings, and he offered the burnt offering. Now the reason why I want to bring this up is because when you get a prophetic word, it's conditional, because we have to not only get a prophetic word, but we have to be obedient, and we have to pursue God and what he wants, not willfulness and presumption and just kind of do it our way, because God has his way. And when he anoints us and appoints us, he wants us to also obey him. And so let's go to that next verse. But Samuel, as soon as he finished, this is 1 Samuel 13:10, as soon as he finished offering the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came, and Saul went out to meet him and to greet him. But Samuel said, what have you done? And Saul said, because I saw that the people were scattering from me, and that you did not come within the appointed days, and that the Philistines were assembling at Michmash. Therefore I said, now the Philistines will come down against me at Gilgal, and I have not asked the favor of the Lord. So I forced myself and offered the burnt offerings. Well, you know, the kings didn't do that. Only the priests did that. And so he really disobeyed God and disobeyed the command of God, because that is what the priests did. The kings did not do. And so Samuel said to Saul, you have acted foolishly. You have not kept the commandment of the Lord, your God, which he commanded you, for now the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever. So you see, he was looking for obedience from Saul. And so Saul was not obedient to the Lord. He was he was a people pleaser, and he wanted to look good in the eyes of people. So listen to what the Lord says. But now your kingdom shall not endure. The Lord has sought out for himself a man after his own heart, and the Lord has appointed him as ruler over his people, because you have not kept what the Lord commanded you. So Saul defeated the Amalekites from Havilah as you go to Shur, which is east of Egypt. He captured Agag, the king of the Amalekites. Okay, this is now in 1 Samuel 15. This is verse 8. He captured Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive, and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep, the oxen, the fatlings, the lambs, and all that was good, and were not willing to destroy them utterly. But everything despised and worthless that they utterly destroyed. Then the word of the Lord came to Samuel, saying, I regret. Now this is the Lord. He's saying, I regret that I have made Saul king, for he has turned back from following me and has not carried out my commands. And Samuel was distressed and cried out to the Lord all night. Samuel rose early in the morning to meet Saul, and it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set up a monument for himself, then turned and proceeded on down to Gilgal. So he really was quite an egotist, and he wanted to have a statue of himself. Samuel came to Saul and said to him, Blessed are you of the Lord. For Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said to him, Blessed are you of the Lord. I have carried out the command of the Lord. But Samuel said, What then is this bleating of the sheep in my ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? Saul said, They have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and oxen to sacrifice to the Lord your God. Notice he did not say, and that just struck me because he's like, he didn't say to the Lord my God. He said to the Lord your God. But the rest we have utterly destroyed. Then Samuel said to Saul, Wait and let me tell you what the Lord said to me last night. And he said to him, Speak. Samuel said, Is it not true, though you were little in your own eyes, you were made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed you king over Israel. And the Lord sent you on a mission and said, Go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they are exterminated. Why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord, but rushed upon the spoil and did what was evil in the sight of the Lord? Then Saul said to Samuel, I did obey the voice of the Lord and went on the mission on which the Lord sent me and have brought back Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took some of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the choices of the things devoted to destruction, to sacrifice to the Lord your God at Gilgal. Samuel said, Has the Lord as much delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than to sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of divination, and insubordination is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected you from being king. Then Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned. I have indeed transgressed the command of the Lord and your words, because I feared the people and listened to their voice. There it was. He was a people pleaser. And so, you know, for any people who are people pleasers, you can just go to the Lord and say, Lord, I don't want to be a people pleaser. Please help me. Let me be a God pleaser. Lord, forgive me and help me and deliver me. And he will. Now, this is what he says. Now, therefore, please pardon my sin and return with me that I may worship the Lord. But Samuel said to Saul, I will not return with you, for you have rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord has rejected you from being king over Israel. As Samuel turned to go, Saul seized the edge of his robe and it tore. So Samuel said to him, The Lord has torn the kingdom of Israel from you today and has given it to your neighbor who is better than you. Also, the glory of Israel will not lie or change his mind, for he is not a man that he should change his mind. Then he said, I have sinned, but please honor me. Now, here he still is saying this. Please honor me before the elders of my people and before Israel, and go back with me that I may worship the Lord your God. So Samuel went back following Saul, and Saul worshiped the Lord. But it was more in the eyes of the people than it was genuinely. Now the Lord said to Samuel, How long will you grieve over Saul, since I have rejected him from being king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I will send you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have selected a king for myself among his sons. So it's so interesting how, you know, you human beings, like Samuel's looking at all the sons and he's assuming who it might be by their stature. And what did the Lord say to him? You look at the outside, but I look at the heart. I don't look at the outside. I look at the heart. And so he goes, and in 1 Samuel 16:13, it says, "And Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David from that day forward. And Samuel arose and went to Ramah. Now the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord terrorized him." Isn't that interesting? And very briefly, of course, I want to touch on David in Psalm 63, verses 2 through 8. "O God, you are my God. I shall seek you earnestly. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh yearns for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. Thus I have seen you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory, because your loving kindness is better than life. My lips will praise you, so I will bless you as long as I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. My soul is satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth offers praises with joyful lips. When I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches, for you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings, I sing for joy. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me." Think about that. I mean, if you're thirsting like David did to see his power and glory, he in the spirit through worship, David I'm talking about, saw the Lord in visions and experienced his presence in the tabernacle. He saw the vision of his power and glory. He saw the cloud in the tabernacle above the ark, and which were the emblem of divine majesty. And, you know, David always inquired of the Lord, and the Lord always answered him. And, of course, we know he wasn't perfect. Isn't that great? You don't have to be perfect. But when you're not perfect, run to God. Don't run away. Because I think in us humans, when we do things and we know they're not right, we want to run away because we feel shame. But we have to be like David, who ran to the Lord and said, "Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Lord. Forgive me. I know I've done wrong in your sight, in your sight alone." And that's how we have to be. That if we cling to the Lord, if we dwell in the secret place like David did, always going before the Lord and waiting in his presence, you know, thirsting for God and hungering for him, that is how we are going to fulfill our prophetic vision. Think about Ezekiel's call. After he has an encounter where he sees the glory of God, God tells him his mandate in a vision, the prophetic anointing of the Spirit. So let's go into Ezekiel 2:1. "Then he said to me, 'Son of man, stand on your feet that I may speak with you.' As he spoke to me, the Spirit entered me and set me on my feet. And I heard him speaking to me. Then he said to me, 'Son of man, I am sending you to the sons of Israel, to a rebellious people who have rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me to this very day. I am sending you to them who are stubborn and obstinate.'" Now this is Ezekiel 2:4. "Obstinate children, and you shall say to them, 'Thus says the Lord God,' as for them, whether they listen or not, for they are a rebellious house, they will know that a prophet has been among them. And you, son of man, neither fear them nor fear their words. Those thistles and thorns are with you, and you sit on scorpions. Neither fear their words nor be dismayed at their presence, for they are a rebellious house. But you shall speak my words to them, whether they listen or not, for they are rebellious. Now you, son of man, listen to what I am speaking to you. Do not be rebellious like that rebellious house. Open your mouth and eat what I'm giving to you. Then I looked, and behold, a hand was extended to me, and lo, a scroll was in it. When he spread it out before me, it was written on the front and back, and written on it were lamentations, mourning, and woe." And in Ezekiel 3:14, it says, "So the Spirit lifted me up and took me away, and I was embittered in the rage of my spirit, and the hand of the Lord was strong on me." we're going to go into 3:15. Then I came to the exiles who lived beside the river Chebar at Tel Aviv, and I sat there 7 days where they were living, causing consternation among them. Yeah, I bet, huh? Here's this guy in ecstatic vision. I bet you they were like, whoa. At the end of the 7 days, the word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, I have appointed you a watchman to the house of Israel, where whenever you hear a word from my mouth, warn them from me. Now think about what he said to Jeremiah, though. We're going to go back a little bit, because he says to Jeremiah, before I formed you, this is in Jeremiah 1:5, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I have appointed you a prophet to the nations. Listen to what he said, because he's a youth. He says, then I said, alas, Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak because I am a youth. But the Lord said to me, do not say I am a youth, because everywhere I send you, you shall go, and all that I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of them. I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord. Then the Lord stretched out his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have appointed you this day over the nations and over the kingdoms to pluck up and to break down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant. The word of the Lord came to me saying, what do you see, Jeremiah? And I said, I see a rod of an almond tree. Then the Lord said to me, you have seen well, for I am watching over my word to perform it. Now let's talk about the Apostle Paul for a minute. Now, if the prophetic anointing, if Ananias and Paul had not heeded that, there would be no Apostle Paul. If Ananias was like, oh, no, Lord, that guy's scary, I'm not going to go talk to him, what would have happened? And so let's go into Acts 9:3. As he was traveling, it happened that he was approaching Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him, and he fell to the ground. I just lost my spot here. I'll get it in 1 second. There it is. As he was traveling, it happened that he was approaching Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him, and he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? But get up and enter the city, and it will be told you what you must do. The men who traveled with him stood speechless, hearing the voice, but seeing no one. Saul got up from the ground, and though his eyes were open, he could see nothing. And leading him by the hand, they brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither ate nor drank. Now there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and the Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias, and he said, here I am, Lord. And the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the sons of Israel, for I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake. So Ananias departed and entered the house. We're going to go into Acts 9:17. So Ananias departed and entered the house, and after laying his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you in the road, you on the road by which you were coming, has sent me so you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he regained his sight, and he got up, and he was baptized. And he took food and was strengthened, and immediately he began to proclaim Jesus in the synagogue, saying, he is the Son of God. So amazing, because he was one that he wanted to see Christians killed because he had a zeal for God, but he didn't have the proper knowledge. And so God gave that to him. Think about this. There wouldn't be a book of Revelation if John did not have obeyed the revelatory vision. Think about what Jesus said to him in Revelation 4:1. After these things, I looked, and behold, a door was a door standing open in heaven, and the first voice, which I had heard, like the sound of a trumpet speaking with me, said, come up here, and I will show you what must take place after these things. Immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was standing in heaven, and one sitting on the throne. Now, what if he would have said, Lord, I'm afraid of that door. That's freaking me out there. We wouldn't have a book of Revelation because John obeyed the call to come and go into the spirit. Of course, he was a seasoned apostle, and I'm sure had a pretty intimate relationship with Jesus. He was the beloved of Jesus. And so he says, immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was standing in heaven, and one sitting on the throne. And he who was sitting was like a jasper stone and a sardius in appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne like an emerald in appearance. Now, who else had a vision like that? Ezekiel, Daniel saw Jesus with the river of fire. Isaiah saw God high and lifted up because they were intimate with the Lord. Think about John. He got to see the throne room, and we are invited to as we become intimate with the Lord, as we dwell in the secret place, as we watch and see what he will say and show us. Around the throne were 24 thrones. And upon the thrones, I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white garments and golden crowns on their heads. Out from the throne come flashes of lightning and sounds and peals of thunder. And there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. And of course, the seven spirits of God are also talked about in Isaiah 11. And before the throne, there was something like a sea of glass, like crystal, and in the center and around the throne, four living creatures full of eyes in front and behind. Ezekiel saw this too. The first creature was like a lion, and the second creature like a calf, and the third creature had a face like that of a man, and the fourth creature was like a flying eagle. Now think about this, because they were in the throne, and John was in the throne room. He saw things to come. He saw the future, but he also saw all the angels in the throne room worshiping the Lord. And the four living creatures, each one of them having six wings, are full of eyes around and within. And day and night, they do not cease to say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God, the Almighty, who was and who is and who is to come. And when the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, to him who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders will fall down before him who sits on the throne and will worship him who lives forever and ever, and will cast their crowns before the throne, saying, worthy are you, O Lord, our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and because of your will, they existed. Now, I'm going to stop here because we're going to continue next week, and we're going to keep talking about some of the prophetic anointing, how the Holy Spirit showed people, you know, the kingdom of heaven, how he allowed them, like John, to see into the realm of heaven and into the realm of glory. And so I want to stop, and I want to play for you, Come Holy Spirit. I know I've played this song, but it's so incredible. It's just so amazing. And so I'm going to let that play for you a little bit, and I will see you next week, okay? God bless you. Thank you for joining me.
In this region. Acts 2:17, it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out of my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. The young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams. I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above, signs on the earth beneath. Lord, we ask you today. Lord, we come into agreement with your word. Lord, that which you've spoken, and that which you've confirmed in days past. Lord, we pray for the fullness of that which you promised. Proclamation of the gospel goes forth, that suddenly cities are changed, oh God. Suddenly regions are converted. And suddenly there would be a great witness that you would breathe upon us. That your presence would go with us. That your presence would be upon us like it was with Moses. Like it was with the saints of old. Lord, we ask you for our day and our time. Lord, we ask you for today, for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We ask you today for your increased manifest presence in our city and in this region.